What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Eggman.
I'm Gordon Bombay, the new hockey coach.
All right, let's go! Line B, come on!
We're Team USA, gathered from all across America. And we're gonna stick together. You know why?
Because we are ducks, and ducks fly together.
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. What are you waiting for? The ice to freeze? I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back. We're going to talk about some more side plots. But before we do, we've had a bit of a youth movement on Twitter. So Joyce's, I don't know if that was her nephew or cousin, I don't remember, quoting lines from Wolf the Dentist Danson. Our new friend Xavier, 3-year-old, big celebrator of the Ducks championship. So
big,
if you have,
big mood.
Yes. I'll post a picture of baby Carp wearing her cake eater onesie. But if you have any youth or any pets that are Quackalites, please let us know. I think this is a new untapped market for us.
That's perfect timing by your daughter.
Yes, she is. She's with us on the pod. We'll see how well this goes.
Well, so wait, have you even tweeted out a picture of your daughter wearing her Quacklight gear?
I don't think I've tweeted it out. I will. I'll put it in the show notes and I will tweet it out.
All right.
Yeah, she is with us today. Her mom is still working, and she did not want to lay on her mat, so she's playing with her elephant right now, and we'll see how that goes.
No duck, huh?
No. She'll probably be freaked out if I do the duck call, but
she doesn't have a stuffed duck. She has a stuffed elephant.
It's not even stuffed. It's like a. I'll show it to. Oh, she's mad.
That was a Shark Tank thing, wasn't it?
I don't know. It's part of a play mat, but it's got lights and stuff. but she likes it, so she is gonna eat that while we.
You should let her do the duck call.
She is getting good at blowing raspberries, but I don't think she's good enough for a duck call just yet.
One day.
Let's move on to your child, kind of, Kevin, your kin token investment.
It's like, wait, what?
We have a special guest.
Your kin token investment, December 2016, you birthed this investment and have steadily watched it die. Since then, it's gone from $300-ish down to $2-ish. Baby Carp is upset at you.
Me too, Ellie. Me too.
And, do we have an update?
yeah, we're at, $3.79. So, not terrible, but
that's a nice increase.
Little spike.
Yeah, I saw they announced something the other day. I don't really know what it was, but there's been some little bit of movement from the company. So
they thought, hey, we've been valued at less than $1.50 for 3 years. Maybe it's time we do something.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to some actual Mighty Ducks topics. Last episode, we broke down the side plots in one. And the best and the worst. And today we're going to D2. There's a lot to go on in D2. So let's just get into it here. So you obviously have quite a bit of the new guys that's sort of central to the plot, but not central. So you have like Fulton and Portman's budding bro relationship. Would you count that as a side plot?
I would say the kind of the birth of the Bash Brothers is the side plot. But I guess kind of Portman's initial reluctance and then his kind of acceptance of Fulton. It's almost like Portman really gets he really is no longer like the bad boy. He's like the enforcer, but he's not like his ego or whatever never really hurts the Ducks, like from a team standpoint. Like there's no like divisions anymore. Like after Bombay gets them to all come together,
ties them up.
Yes. Yeah, I'd say the real side plot is like the Bash Brothers.
Okay. So we're counting that as a side plot. Like, that is not integral to the story. Just because they, I guess in the end, they beat up Iceland in D2, but I guess you wouldn't even, or in the championship, I should say, but you wouldn't even need that. I guess you wouldn't necessarily need that for the plot to continue where they go on and they win.
Correct.
Okay. All right. The other one that comes to mind, Luis, not being able to stop.
Yeah, that's definitely like a side plot, but it's absurd.
I'd say like, and so in the introduction of like all these new ducks, the weakest is like in the movie is Julie the cat being like, I came to show the world I can play. And it's like a scene that you kind of have to be like, wait, what's going on here? Because I remember like the first time I saw it, like I didn't real like I thought it was Connie at first, and I was like, you know, like 7 or whatever. So I was like, who is this person saying I came to show the world I can play? But obviously that's hugely important because she gets put in at the end. So it was an important for that plot to be added, even though it was kind of like weak development, whereas the other new ducks all had like pretty good development. I think Dwayne, I guess they spent the most time on, but yeah, the whole Luis thing, it's kind of like they just introduced things for ways for these ducks to score a goal. It's like Luis like
for like a specific hijinks like moment. Because aside from that, like we never really see anything from Luis aside from him not being able to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So would you count Julie's quote-unquote arc as a subplot?
I guess I would say, I guess the arc is more of the gimmicks of the new players. And I guess it adds to everything, because I guess the most important quote-unquote is Dwayne, just because he gets the 2 minutes for roping, whatever. And then the Bash Brothers arc. But I guess you can't just have them being playing normal hockey for, you know, the 90-minute movie. I'd say you could do without all the gimmicks, but still have like a representation of USA. You could still have like diversity and everything. I guess probably the better subplot of new players is Keenan, but they really are kind of like, so he's just able to be added mid-tournament and they just take Charlie off or whatever. I mean, I guess you can account for there being an emergency injury replacement, but you just take off a player who's like underperforming. Is that what you do? So that's kind of more of a unexplained tournament rules there. Keenan, Russ Tyler being added.
Yeah, I think Russ is a good one. I think he would be necessary, but I don't necessarily think the whole side plot of them, like his brother and learning how to play street puck, is necessary. So I would count that as a side plot.
Well, I guess it's better than Bombay just like skating around and then like finding himself again.
Yeah, but it's a side plot for sure.
Yeah,
we can go over it. What else do we have here? We have.
So I think the true most worthless side plot is Miss McKay.
Just the character.
Really, and like the character is not great, and so she is there to essentially say like, what are we waiting for, ice to freeze, let's play. So she's there, so Team USA does not lose the tournament because of her.
Change it up.
Yeah, and the only other thing is basically, I guess, being a bridge between the team and Gordon, be like, they're calling you Captain Blood, or like the whole scene where they're like, oh, did USA always dominate? talk about playing with pride, whatever. So I guess it moves a couple of things forward in the plot, but I feel like you probably could have done it better than just like, oh yeah, they got to have a tutor.
Yeah.
You know?
Charlie, Tommy, are you making fun of Charlie's cinematic masterpiece of saying pride?
Pride.
Yeah, and now that I think of it, I mean, McKay is definitely a side plot.
Side piece as well for Bombay.
Yeah, and then, like, he kisses her on the cheek. Yeah, now that I think of it, you could probably have Tibbles sort of take a bigger role. Like, he could have stepped up on the bench. And it might have been actually more interesting. So I like that. Any other side plots here before we really start breaking them down? Would you count Trinidad and Tobago as a side plot?
Or just scene? Anecdotal. I guess Iceland being the big bad and like Wolf the dentist and him in Bombay like playing like the three bar or whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess, did you need that for like Team USA to get ready for the final? You know, I guess it motivates them because like coach is on their side as well. And it's like, hey, Bombay, he's one of us too. And we hate, you know, I guess Gunnar Stahl wasn't really developed very much.
No, yeah, the three bar is a good point, as well as Bombay's knee injury. Obviously, you need it for him to come home, but then to bring it back up. We can lump Wolf in the knee.
Well, I guess it does show Wolf does his scouting. He knows which knee to hit.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever have like three bar with any of these coaches in the tournament, I need to know how to
shoot. You think he has the dirt on all of them?
Oh, 100%. I mean, Maria has probably been a mole for years amongst all those other teams. That's why Canada was probably so bad. I bet you Maria had something. Oh, I guess actually a true, like, again, more of an anecdote, but Wayne Gretzky showing up.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? Like, why? But I guess maybe that could be explained by Canada's poor showing. Maybe they saw that Wayne Gretzky was supporting Team USA and they just imploded.
Yeah. All right. All
also,
right.
I do think, like, on that note, I don't think, like, the casual sports fan would realize that Wayne Gretzky is Canadian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
like, I think
true.
They'd be like, oh, yeah, he's American, whatever.
Yeah, he plays for the Kings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Basil McRae American?
He's Canadian.
He's Canadian. Mike McDonough, of course, is
American.
Yeah. Where would you put him, Mike, among, like, best American hockey players of all time?
I mean, maybe number one. I think he has all the scoring records and stuff. I'm trying to think of people who else come to mind. It's like Jeremy Roenick, and I think Madonna is better than Roenick.
Brett Hull is American, right?
Brett Hull's a good one, yeah. Brett Hull might, yeah. But he's
Canadian born, actually.
Is Bobby Orr, is he Canadian or is he?
He's Canadian. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd have to do some research, but I would say Madonna's at least top five. So.
Yeah, I can't even think of another American-born hockey. Not that I'm like a big hockey guy, but.
What? All right. Let's go back now and really evaluate whether these things were necessary. So, Luis not being able to stop. Would you keep it?
I mean, if you have to pick like a thing for each of the players, that's probably the weakest of the thing. It's like, oh yeah, he just can't stop. You know, everything else is kind of like, okay, yeah, Kenny Wu is acrobatic skater. You've got the enforcer. You've got, I mean, Luis makes sense, him being the speedster, but it doesn't make sense that he can't fucking stop.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Like his thing could have just been that he's fast. You know, like.
Yeah.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
So we're taking this out. We're taking out the put it in, Luis, and all that.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to come up with some other, like, screen time thing for him. Because, like, I guess similar, like, with Julie, like, she didn't really have any screen time until, like, she gets kicked out of the Iceland game in the beginning. And then she, of course, is the hero at the end of the shootout. So for Luis, you'd have to have some other kind of, like, his speed being, like, I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe he gets fouled a lot. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm okay with him taking it. I mean, they could have just made him like a ladies' man. Like, they could have gone a whole different direction. But
well, I guess that's what they did in D3. It's like, okay, yeah. Well, what's interesting about this guy now? He can stop. So I guess then, yeah, you face cheerleaders.
Yeah. I guess I skipped one. The Bash brothers and that relationship. Would you keep it?
Of course.
Oh, 100%. Keep the Bash brothers.
Agreed. I think you have sort of it was one of the sort of iconic things to come out of it. So definitely take that. You mentioned Julie. I agree that I would not, like, I don't think it's necessary for her to be like, oh, I came here to show the world what I could do. Interesting point, I guess, about Julie and this whole side plot. If Goldberg just stays in and makes the save, is that okay? Like, did we need Julie to come in at the end and kind of redeem herself from the arc she was on?
I mean, if she hadn't, she wouldn't even really be a character.
Exactly. Like are we could we take Julie out is what I'm thinking. Like, do we even need Julie the Cat in D2?
I guess not. We didn't really get much from her aside from that. I don't know.
Tommy?
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure out I just still don't know why Gordon wasn't starting her from the start. Goldberg was never a good goalie.
That doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, so maybe that's the change. We keep Julie. Julie just plays, and they win. And Goldberg is really relegated. I think Goldberg then now becomes more interesting for D3.
Well, I was going to say, too, like Goldberg as like a backup guy who's just like comedic relief works.
Yeah.
Julie as just like a backup goalie doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. I like that. I like that change. Anything else on the new Ducks? Any side plots that you would change or anything you want to comment on those side plots? Like Dwayne, do we need to address Dwayne? He doesn't really have like an arc-ish, but he does, you know, have the 2 minutes for roping and stuff like that.
I mean, he should have been kicked out of the tournament when he jumped onto the ice.
Yeah. I guess the other one would be Kenny Wu and the whole idea like, oh, he's got to learn how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the other side plot for the characters. Would you keep that?
I liked it. I thought it was a fun moment.
Just like a little fun. Okay. So I guess we already talked about Miss McKay and we would take her out or at least adjust her. Is there anything else we need for Miss McKay to discuss?
Tommy's the one that feels so strongly about this.
I think should have made her like stricter maybe. Maybe she realizes that hockey is important to these kids. I don't know. So she does coach, so maybe that would have been better. I guess she kind of comes off as like a pushover.
Yeah. I think we could just take it out. Like, I think Miss McKay, like Don Tibbles fits in those roles. There's some hijinks that ensue. I think it becomes more interesting if Tibbles is forced into that. Any other side plots that we talked about that we need to follow up on here?
I guess I never really understood, I guess it's just hijinks, but the whole the team living in like dorms away from Gordon. A lot of this really is just like, you didn't really need that. That doesn't move the plot forward. I guess the team living at a dorm is just more of comic relief because I guess you do need to establish that Gordon is like, oh, kind of everything is going to his head. But it's good, clean fun, you know, with them putting shaving cream on Dwayne's face. Good bonding experience, but I guess you can't just have 90 minutes about them playing hockey. So
yeah, I think maybe the Rodeo Drive trek.
Oh yeah, what my mom really needs is a bikini.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very odd moment. Like that whole scene is just weird.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I guess that's kind of a side plot. Yeah,
and I guess them, like, I remember they were drinking orange juice. Like, that's the classy drink that they give kids as opposed to, like,
I think a mimosa. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's supposed to be like a mimosa sort of thing.
I guess, or like champagne, yeah. So they just give those kids some orange juice.
I just love that they chose Aaron Spelling, of all people, to name drop.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, I would... The whole idea, I guess, of them being like a ragtag bunch of pranksters is the side plot. And it's fun. but I guess you could change it a little bit, but I would keep it. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
All right. I think that's it. We have a pretty interesting quack question, so we wanted to save time. It's not necessarily a quack question, but we're going to make it a quack question.
More of a quack theory.
Yeah, quack. Oh, I like that, quack theory. And so we're going to go to that now. We're going to take a short break and come back with what I don't think is the very first quack theory, but maybe it is. We'll see you on the other side.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are back. You ask us questions or give your theories on Twitter, Facebook, through email. We pick the best ones, try to answer them. Kevin, what is the quack question / theory today?
So this theory comes from Nigel, who's at 28_8 kbps kilobits per second tweets, which is a very complicated Twitter name, but that's what it is. So Nigel's theory is this is a six tweet thread. So I've been thinking about this more than I should, but I'm 100% convinced that Little Big League and the Mighty Ducks take place in the same universe. In Little Big League, the Twins are playing for the wild card, which means it must be the 1994 season. Billy Haywood is 12 years old. D2 was released in 1994 and believed to take place in 1994. With the Ducks 1 year removed from Pee Wee's, and it's safe to say they are 12 to 13 years old. This means Billy Haywood and the Ducks are about the same age, in the same city, and both are celebrities. It's possible they know each other or have met, or maybe Billy and Adam Banks even go to the same school. Also in the Mighty Ducks, Jesse and Terry's dad complains about missing overtime to attend games. Does he get a second job? In Little Big League, who shows up as a security guard at the Metrodome? The Hall brothers' dad. To top it all off, in D2, Gordon Bombay discusses endorsements and investments, and his big idea is the Air Bombay loafer for kids who want to coach. I believe he makes this happen, and Billy Haywood is the face of the Air Bombay loafer.
I liked it. I think the strongest point, that connecting point, is Hall's dad, because that would make sense why he might not be at every game, why he's mad that he's, you know, giving up his overtime pay for this, because he's, if it's at night, you would figure the game, the hockey game that he's going to is at night, maybe the same day as a Twins game. So that is the strongest connecting point. I like this too, because you would figure if Tibbles and Bombay are going for a loafer, you need a face. No one better than this kid manager. So I like it.
So I am realizing it's been a really long time since I've seen Little Big League, and I get that one and Rookie of the Year confused constantly. He's the manager in Little Big League?
Yes, he's the manager. He's like the son of the owner, or excuse me, grandson of the owner. And so grandpa dies, and he's like this, like, he loves baseball. He, like, knows everything about baseball, every rule, etc. Grandpa dies, leaves him the Twins to be the owner, and then he fires the manager, and then just like, yeah, no one wants to work for a kid. And then he's like, well, I should be the manager. And then,
I'm vaguely remembering. Also, wait, quick side question. Is the kid the same guy that plays Kevin in American Pie?
No, that's Rookie of the League, where he's the Cubs pitcher.
Okay. That's where I'm getting mixed up. I like this theory, because I think there are enough connectors here to like make it plausible, especially like the being in the same city around the same time. I really like this. It seems to be a well-developed theory.
Very well developed. And also in Little Big League, there's a line they say, like, oh yeah, we could use the publicity, because like the Twins are really shitty. And he said, like, people are already talking about Gopher football. I imagine what they also want to say is, you know, of course you've got those Mighty Ducks and people are talking about them. They're not talking about the Twins. And so another reason why the Twins could use the publicity is because, you know, Gordon Bombay and his Ducks. Now, obviously they take place different times a year. And so this would be like latter half of the summer would be when Little Big League takes place. So it's, I think it's pretty plausible that these are in the same universe. I think it really ties together for the kids who want to coach thing. Yeah. Because what they don't say is like, yeah, like Bill Haywood, because it's so obvious to everyone there that he's referencing Bill Haywood. But well, yeah, I think it's great. And I think, and the security guard mentions that like it was his first day. And so it's clear that, the Hall's dad, Mr. Hall, he is, who's played by John Beasley, by the way. He is looking for work to help out, his kids. And, I think it ties in very well.
I'm going to poke one hole in this theory. Baseball manager would not wear a loafer.
Oh, great point.
Bombay doesn't know that though, because like hockey coaches aren't wearing loafers either. They're wearing
sure they are.
I mean, they're wearing dress shoes.
So, but, yeah, I would. That is a good point. Two things though. I think the timing works well actually. So, because as Tommy mentioned, Little Big League, they're making their run late summer. Junior Goodwill games happen in March, so they hatch this idea at the party or whatever. That's a few months to find Haywood, get a deal done, that kind of stuff. As far as the loafer, I mean, maybe it's just for, I was going to say press conferences, but even press conferences, the baseball managers.
Yeah, come well, out and there's a there's a dress code when they're traveling.
So,
but if that were the case, though, it would just be like a shoe, you know? Like the loafer part is like for the literal coaches on the sideline.
Yeah, but you got to have a bigger audience than just the Bill Haywood of the world. You got to have like NBA coaches.
Well, I know NBA coaches would make sense. Yeah, but a baseball coach doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, I think you could sign Billy up as your face because he is obviously the most recognizable kid who wanted to coach, and he's sort of the deal. He's sort of the apparel hawk, but he doesn't necessarily wear it while he's in uniform. He just wears it out.
Yeah, he wears I wear this when I like, and I'm traveling on the road. And I need to be sophisticated. People need to take me seriously.
So yeah, I like it. I think this has a lot of legs. Is there?
And
any...
he's also like the owner, so.
That's
like,
true.
He's got to make all these boardroom deals, and he's got to look the part.
We got to get Billy Haywood on the on the pod.
No, that ownership point is a great point because he's negotiating with, or I guess he's talking with like GM and stuff to negotiate player contracts. But he's got to be in boardrooms, and I don't know if there's a loafer out there that is good for kids. So I think this is a symbiotic relationship. I don't know if I use that word right or not, but I'm sure the Quacklights will let me know. But yeah, I like it. Anything else on this theory?
I think it's excellent. I think it's definitely one that is kind of has Quack Attack written all over it. You know, we have a lot of theories kind of involving the actors, actresses in it. And so the actor who played Bill Haywood. Billy, as he's known when he's like a kid, Bill, when he's trying to be grown up, as Luke Edwards, who apparently is still acting according to his IMDb profile. I don't recognize a lot of the stuff he's been in. Actually, I don't really recognize any of it. But apparently he was in American Pie 2 as quote-unquote high school guy.
I watched American Pie 2 last night, actually.
Wow,
that's a good
did
one.
You see High School
I think
Guy?
It's better than the original.
I mean, there are a lot of high school guys in there, so maybe.
Wow.
I will say one last thing on this. I'm very disappointed that Tommy didn't come up with this theory because it seems to be this would be right in Tommy's wheelhouse.
That's true.
So we're not upset with you, Tommy. We're just disappointed.
I think that's fair.
That's fair. Wow. All right. Well, there you have it. I am a big fan. This is one of the better theories our Quackalites have thrown out there. So if you have any more, you know where to find us, thequackattack.com, at QuackAttackPod on Twitter, facebook.com/QuackAttackPod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars. Tell us what you think of Billy Haywood as the face of the Air Bombay Loafer does for the company. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together. Ain't no turning back. Stop.